Good morning. Good morning, online church. We're just so glad you're here, especially if you're a first timer today. We want to give you a special greeting. I want to remind you that this week is our final week for our Project Fuente. We're believing God for 14,000 to come in and help with that event in our mission work in Pueblo, Mexico. And we're about halfway. So if you haven't given yet, I just want to encourage you to pray and see what God would ask you to do with this great, great project that we're involved with, Project Fuente, Operation Fuente. This morning I'm starting a new series, and Sound Man, I'm going to move my mic. We're starting a new series this morning called Do You Hear What I Hear? And this is part one, getting ready to hear God's voice. I thought about, as we're leading up for Christmas, and it's kind of
a condensed season right now for our church. A lot gets compressed, so we're getting really, really busy for our Christmas production, which I want to remind you that that is for us, but not for us. It's a great opportunity for us to use this great gathering event that we work so hard on, but we work hard at it and on the production so that we have an opportunity on those two evenings to share the gospel and have people respond, perhaps for the very first time in their life, to know God. And each year we have numbers of people that do that. And in fact, some of you are in the room today as a result of a Christmas production that you came to. So just be praying, and we're be praying for that. And our next week and our first Wednesday, we'll definitely be spending some time praying and asking the Lord to touch that production. So as we kind of have so much we're looking at, so much that we're doing, we also are trying to get ready for our January time. We take the month of January, we tithe our time, we give our first at the beginning of each year for 21 days of fasting and prayer. There'll be some extra meetings. We'll have Cameron Jeffs here on first Wednesday in January, which is actually second Wednesday, because first Wednesday's New Year's Day. And so as I looked at all of what we're trying to get done and accomplish between now coming into the new year, I thought I would put a few things together. And so this Christmas song, Do You Hear What I Hear, was released in 1962, became a Christmas song that we're going to be hearing. We already are hearing it. You'll hear it even more leading up. And the song is loosely based on the nativity scene. And the line said, the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? You got to do the echo for me. All right. Said the shepherd boy, or said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? Now you know why they don't let me sing. There was like 400 years of silence from heaven. Malachi was the last prophet to prophesy to Israel. And for 400 years until the birth of Christ, heaven has said nothing to planet Earth. And planet Earth is waiting. Humanity is waiting for Messiah to come, for heaven to be open. The prophet Isaiah said, oh God, rend the skies, open the skies that we might have contact or communication with God our Maker. And after 400 years, that takes place. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Not God's wrath, but God's peace toward humanity, because this Christ child would grow to be a man. We call the Christmas event in Bethlehem, and then the Easter event, of course, when Jesus would die, he would be buried, and he would rise again for our sin, for your sin and for mine. That there was peace on earth, and that God's voice would now be heard on the earth again. Matthew, we're reiterating the Isaiah's prophecy, and she shall have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. And all this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Say Emmanuel, which means God with us. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you for the promise that we experience today in this room, Emmanuel, that God is with us through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus, God the Father, the three in one. Lord, that we are so privileged as we gather corporately and have your that presence that's so sweet, so tangible, even here this morning. Lord, to have your presence with us and with your presence, your voice, because you are a speaking God. The heavens are not silent. Heaven is not closed this morning, but heaven is wide open and we are to hear your voice, be a people of your voice, listening, Lord, and doing what you ask us to do. Lord, help us to hear clearer. Do you hear what I hear? Today in Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. So part of that promise, as I just said, is that God is a speaking God. I want to get ready for our 21 days of prayer because from now till Christmas will be a bit of a blur. And so really kind of getting some of that prep work done now. And each year we really experience God in a fresh way. And I know that'll be the case again this year as well. And so Jesus is teaching his disciples and teaching us this morning using the analogy of the sheep and the shepherd. And this is in John chapter 10. And he says this, he says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him. And the sheep, and this analogy would be us, those who are Christ's followers, he's our shepherd. The sheep recognize his voice. We can recognize that when we're born again, we're given the capacity to recognize his voice. He speaks to us. And they come to him. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. He has gathered his own flock, and he walks ahead of them. I'm thankful for the God who walks ahead of me in this life, who's going where I haven't been yet, who knows what my tomorrow holds, that he's already in my tomorrow while I'm standing in today. There's something comforting of knowing that my shepherd walks ahead of me this morning. And that's why I can follow him. Why? Because I know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. And the ideal here is that his voice would be the loudest voice in our life, the loudest leading voice, and the other voices would be very dull, and that we would not even recognize them as being important voices at all to us, but that Jesus' voice would be the most important. Our shepherd would have the most important voice in our life. Proverbs 3:6, and I like the way the message says it, listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, he's the one who will keep you on track. As we move toward January, it's really a time to kind of look at our lives and do an inventory as we're getting ready to give our first to the Lord, to really start 2025. That's almost hard to say, 2025, that we start on track. We start on track in our spiritual walk with the Lord. So Luke 8:8, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And I think Jesus saying to us today, do you hear what I say? Do you hear what I hear? And this phrase in this scripture I just read, he who has ears, check and see if you've got any today. I don't think there's anybody here without them. We all have capacity to hear him as a Christ follower today. We can hear his voice. He who has them, we have capacity to hear the Lord. Let's hear what he's saying. And it actually comes at the end of a parable that seems to be pretty important to Jesus. And he's saying, look, it's not a God speaking problem that we have. And I've met people who say, I can't hear anything from heaven. God doesn't seem to be speaking to me on this area of my life or that area of my life. And I'm looking for some direction. I want to tell you this morning that it's not a God speaking problem that we have. It's a God hearing problem that we have. He who has ears to hear. And I want to just talk to you a little kind of up close and personal, because I want to get our hearts ready for this Christmas season, but the January season, So we can begin hearing God as a church, as individuals, as families, clearer than we are perhaps presently. We're listening to so much noise and so many voices in our life. I love my AirPods because they have noise-canceling technology. Anybody have noise-canceling technology? Let me just see your hands. Not that many. Really? Okay, how many for Christmas want a new set of AirPods or something with noise-canceling technology? I mean, these things are the greatest. I could go out on my lawnmower and put my AirPods in, and the roar of the motor disappears. And I can be in classical music land if that's where I want to be, or smooth jazz if that's where I want to be, or listen to a podcast if that's where I want to be, because all I hear is what's in my ears. And I think that in this kind of society that we live in, that's so many voices. Just this week, listening to, U.S. politics is really loud right now. And people that are getting placed into positions of power that have been like leading conspiracy theorists, like leading voices of bleh. And we're like, the voices are going to just get louder and louder and louder and louder. Noisier and noisier. And if there was ever a time that we needed to be discerning of what is God's voice, is it now? Is it now? It needs to be now. So that as a people of God, that we can be discerning and have noise-canceling capacities. We're listening to God. He who has ears, let him hear. And so it comes at the end of this parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. So this is just a farmer, and they would sow seed by broadcasting seed. They have a seed bag, and they would just throw the seed with their hand, allow the wind to disperse it and land into the field that they were planting. And he sowed, some fell by the wayside, or the path that the farmer was using, where the oxen would walk and where the people would walk, and it was the wayside, and it was trampled down. And the birds of the air devoured that seed. And some fell on rock. And it's more of a kind of a gravelly mixture is what it really means. And as soon as that seed sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked it. But others fell on good ground. Say good ground. Talking this morning about how we can prepare our heart to hear the voice of God. We want good ground because it yielded 100-fold. And when he said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then Jesus takes another step and he explains the parable, which he often does not do. But in this case, he brings the understanding to this parable, to this story, using analogy so that we don't miss it. And so he says, those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart. Say word. At this time, they didn't have the Bible. They had the Old Testament. They would have to go to the synagogue to hear it read, but they didn't have their own copies. They didn't read their Bible the way we read a Bible today. This is really today the word to their heart, God speaking to our heart in all of the different ways, as we'll talk about how God can speak to us. And those that have a hearing or hearing's in the heart, as we're going to see, because the word is taken not really from the ears, but this is our hearing capacity of hearing God's voice in our heart, so that they may not believe and be saved, and so that the devil himself is doing everything he can to snatch the seed from our heart. But there's a specific heart condition that I want to talk to you about this morning. There's three heart conditions that I want to talk about that is not the prepared heart, but it's heart condition that we kind of get up close and personal today and look at our hearts and examine, and let the Holy Spirit examine our hearts to see how we're doing. And there may be a reason that we're not hearing God. And this first one is the contaminated heart, the path heart. That path heart has been trampled. You like that, Aaron? For those on online church this morning, my son Aaron's laughing in the front. Oh, you have your AirPods on with noise canceling technology. You're not laughing at me at all. You're laughing at whatever YouTube video you're watching. All right. Along the path of the ones who you have capacity to hear, But then the devil comes and takes it away because your heart can't retain or hold the word of God because it's a contaminated heart. It's been trampled. And your heart has been trampled or made hard because of the things you've let in, let on your heart that you haven't dealt with. Things that should not be there. And your heart can get trampled, not just by the things we've allowed into our hearts, sins that we've committed, as I'll explain what that is and that we don't deal with. Or so sins we've committed against God and others, and sins that have been committed against us, where people have done things to us and said things about us that have trampled that place inside and emotionally hardened our hearts. And when your heart gets hard, you can't hear God. And God wants you to keep your heart soft and supple before Him. Keep your heart soft to His voice. And so we need to just take a minute or two to talk about how to soften our hearts when they've been trampled and sin not dealt with or sin that's allowed first to come into our lives. Repentance is a kind of a word that's so misunderstood. Repentance simply means when you realize that you've allowed something into your life that's offensive to God. Repentance simply means turn. Turn from what you're doing. Stop doing that and make it right with God. And this is a relational word. Say relational. This is really important. I've used this analogy before, and I think it's helpful, and I want to use it again. And it's the analogy of marriage. And if I sin against Christina, she doesn't divorce me. It's not an automatic divorce. You left your socks on the floor again. How many times I ask you not to leave? That's it. I'm done. And she divorces me. That's not how our relationship works. But using, and sin can be something little or something big, but when it causes pain, when our actions sin against the person we're in relationship with, breaks an agreed upon in the covenant, in the agreement of that relationship, and I break my word or I do something to bring pain to Christina, then I have sinned against her. And you did something wrong. I know we don't like that word sin, but remember the devil's trying to snatch this away. It's just simply a word that means a transgression. You've broken the rule of the relationship and of the covenant that you're in. And so when she brings it to my attention, I stop doing that because I adore and love her. But if I just decide, no. That's, you're being too hard about it. I want to do it. I begin to harden my heart toward Christina. And the next thing we know is we're now drifting apart. Why? Because I've hardened my heart toward the one I love. And now it's becoming more difficult to hear one another and to hear our hearts and the escalation of the fighting words and the disagreements. Why? Because now you're only hearing words. You're not hearing the heart anymore because I hardened my heart toward her. Because there's things we've talked about, and I'm doing them anyway. Can you make the connection with Jesus this morning? And in our covenant with Him, how many are tracking with me and that analogy works for you? For the rest of you, I'm going to keep going. No, I'm just kidding. Some of us can't hear the voice of God because we've ignored what He's been saying to us about certain actions and attitudes, and we've allowed sin to continue in our life. And His Holy Spirit has talked to us about it, and we've said, no, no, no. And it doesn't even have to be a rebellious no. It's just kind of a, I don't care, no. I just don't think it's that important, Jesus. His voice is still speaking, but the volume is turned down, and our hearts become hard. James says, so get rid of the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word of God that He's planted in your heart. You can't get it in there if it's hard, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. What's He saying? Just change your mind and go the other way. It's how we deal with a trampled heart that can't hear God. The second way our hearts become contaminated or trampled is when we allow offense. We allow someone has sinned against us. And so repentance deals with the hard heart toward God, and forgiveness will deal with the hard heart toward others. You say, well, how do I really know if I'm carrying an offense? It's so easy. You just think about that person, and your mind begins to rehearse all of the things they owe you, either emotionally owe you or owe you in an apology. So when we have offense, it's a recognition that somebody has taken something from me. And now anger is a natural emotional response to that. And so when that person pops into my mind, I get angry and I start rehearsing why I'm angry. And there's been more than one time where I've sat down in the morning in my quiet time and somebody will just pop into my mind and I'm thinking, oh yeah, I can't even believe they said it that way. And I don't know. And I'm rehearsing it all. And then I look at my phone for the time and I realize 30 minutes just went by. I'm offended. I've allowed what they've said or done to harden my heart. This is how I want you to conduct yourself in these matters, the one I just described, Jesus said. If you enter the place of worship and you're there to make an offering, you suddenly remember, kind of pops in your mind, a grudge that a friend has against you or you have against them. It works both ways in this verse. Abandon your offering. Literally, stop praying, stop worshiping, stop working toward your spiritual goals because you're not going to reach them, because you can't hear God, because your heart has been offended, your heart is hardened, you won't hear God accurately. Oh, you think you are because you're going through the motions and God's saying, stop. That's religious activity to make you feel good, but we're not close here because your heart is hard towards so-and-so. And let's sit down and talk about it and deal with it. Then, and only then, come back and work things out with God. Why? Because God said, this is so important that you not have a hard, contaminated heart to release and forgive others. Repentance towards God, release and forgiveness. Sometimes that will require face-to-face. Sometimes it doesn't. You can just deal with it before the Lord. That's the contaminated heart. Big breath. How are we doing? All right, let's do the distracted heart. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, and then they fall away when they face temptation. If we ever need to hear God's voice and follow him, it's when we're going through difficulty. The enemy does not want you to hear God's voice in difficulty. He wants you to run, cut bait, and leave. But the distracted heart is the one that we need to deal with the distracted heart so that when they fall away, they will face temptation, because they face temptation. When things get hard, there are so many voices vying for our attention and our affection that we not have mixture in our heart, but we know how to tune into the voice of God. And this is not necessarily sin or bad things. This is just the fact that you can have a lot of good things competing for your heart. And we did that in the series as we talked about finances. The place where you're trying to hear God, if it's so packed full of stuff. My time with Jesus in the morning, I come with a cup of coffee. And I now bring my hard copy of my Bible. I don't know if you knew these existed. They're really cool. This one has leather binding, has my name on the front, and there's words inside, and you can read them, and you can turn the pages, and you can highlight. This is amazing. And I've gotten back to it because I was coming in the morning with my phone, because I bring my noise-canceling AirPods, and I put them in, although the house is really quiet, and I listen to worship music, and then I read, and I have some prayer time, and that's kind of my time with the Lord, one-on-one time with the Lord in the mornings. And I started bringing my paper Bible, because I found that when I was bringing my phone, I'm one of those people that when there's like one of those little circles with numbers in them beside your email and your messenger and your Facebook messenger and Snapchat and notifications. Anybody get notifications? Can anybody in the room leave those for like more than 30 seconds? I can't. I just like, oh, oh. So I was bringing my phone and getting really, really distracted because our phones really represent so many things. And I realized I had a distracted heart. And I just checked this one email. Oh, yeah, I didn't respond to that. I need to do that this morning. And then I would go over to my notes and make a note. When you get in the office, do this. And like a half an hour would go by and I didn't read the Bible. Why? I had a distracted heart. Things were competing for my heart. In the Bible that Jesus hung out with his family, there were two sisters and a brother, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Jesus is talking about Mary and Martha, and he said, and she had a sister, he said, but he's talking about Martha, who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was listening to his teaching. And so the one sister, Mary, chose a posture of intentionality to keep her heart clear and clean before Jesus so that she could hear what he was saying to her. She could really hear not just his words, but his heart's intent in that moment. And so she took that posture of sitting real close at his feet. But Martha, and this is the Amplified, I like this, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted with much serving. This morning we're talking about dealing with a heart so that we can come into this new year with prepared hearts. Say prepared heart. I know we all want a prepared heart. To hear God's voice, I must turn down the world's volume. Let's just be intentional in these days about dealing with our distracted heart. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you to declutter as we head into, yes, a very busy Christmas, and we're going to do all of the stuff. But I'm saying it today so we can remember when all of that kind of winds down. We're not thinking about it fresh January 1. But we're praying now and getting ready and dealing with our hearts now so that when it comes time to declutter in January, we're ready to do that. The seed that fell amongst the thorn, or that's another word for weeds, stands for those who hear, but they go their own way. They're choked by life's worries, riches, pleasures, and they do not mature. Say mature. I remember being 8, and my mom and dad were getting ready to purchase a home out in the country, and the home I grew up in. And then when my dad passed, my brother purchased that home, and he carried on until he moved here to Cornwall to be the fire chief. And so a lot of years, that was the homestead. But I remember at 8 seeing it for the very first time because my parents were going for a second viewing and they were serious about purchasing it. And as a little 8-year-old, I'm examining, you know, this is where we might live. And so you're running around checking out the rooms where you might, you know, this is my bedroom. And the house had been neglected. It had been unlived in for over a year. It was more than a year. And so it had this very distinct musty smell. And there's a smell actually in the office. There's an old laundry chute that was our offices were the priest residence. There's a laundry chute that goes down to the basement. And it has the exact smell. It smells a very, very strong mnemonic aid. And sometimes I just stick my head in the laundry chute. And I go, yeah, I remember. That's what it smelled like. You know, that house hadn't been lived in. It was musty. And then there was this thorn bush. I didn't know it was a thorn bush because it was taller than I was. It was in the middle of what was supposed to be lawn. And this thorn bush, it was huge. And I remember asking, what kind of tree is that? And my dad said, that's a thorn bush. Because the house had been neglected. That, you know, neglect isn't necessarily like you're doing violence to something. It's just you're not doing anything with it. And that nothing was being done with the house. It was unoccupied. There was nothing happening to the house. Did you know you don't have to plant weeds? Did you know that? You don't have to plant weeds. They just grow. And weeds, as we look at this, they're a sign of neglect. Again, not necessarily violence being done to it, but just not doing anything at all. The seed that fell amongst thorns or weeds stands for those who hear, but they go on their way and they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. They do not mature. The final one in our team's coming up is the immature heart. The immature heart. You stop hearing God and being able to follow God because you decided to stop growing. You decided to neglect your spiritual growth. And we all do this. We all grew through seasons of times where we're neglecting the food of reading the word and the food of being in his presence, the food of the house of God, the food of worship and all of the spiritual things that feed us. We stop being intentional and we don't grow up. And some of us, this is a season where God is saying, I need you to spiritually adult now. You've been serving me a while, and I'm going to start using the big words. You notice that with kids, we use the little words, but at some point we wanted our kids to mature. So you begin to use vocabulary that they'll ask you, Mommy, Daddy, what does that mean? What does that mean? And you explain it, and their vocabulary grows, and they mature. And God's saying, I want to start using some big words now. I want some of you to grow up now. I got to use the big words. And we can, I don't know what that means, and I'm not asking because that sounds scary, and I don't want to adult. And you can do that spiritually. And you stop hearing God's word because your heart isn't growing up and you're not understanding what God wants. There's so much more we would like to say about this. It's difficult to explain. Especially since you are spiritually dull, that doesn't mean dumb. This is not a good translation in the New Living Translation. It's just dull means just what I'm saying. You're not understanding because you haven't grown up. And don't seem to listen. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk and still an infant and doesn't know how to do what's right. Solid food is for those who are mature, or the big words, the important adult spiritual words, are for those who are mature. And through training, another translation, through discipline, have the skills to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Maturity comes when we stop making excuses and start making changes. Said somebody important on the internet, and I forgot his name. As a family, we took on that property, and my dad kept, and they're still in my parents. My mom has these photo albums of our childhood, and my dad was real proud of the before and after pictures. Did you know that God has before and after pictures on his fridge up in heaven? The Bible says there's a book in heaven with your name on it, and it has your destiny on it. And God knows exactly the speed that we're... He's never going to say to you, grow up, when we don't have the grace to do that. That's not the picture I want to portray this morning. But he's whispering in some of our ears this morning that he wants you. He's saying there's so much more for you. You're 30 now. Get out of my basement. You need to grow up. I just have more for you. I have more for you. I want to start talking about the things, but it's going to require some discipline. It's going to require some hard work. But as we do this together, I have before and after. And I believe even this morning, God wants to show some of you right now with every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. I believe some of you, God wants to show you your after picture right now. Somebody dealing with an addiction. Somebody dealing with an attitude. Somebody who your whole life you have not grown up. Though you would say, I've known Jesus my whole life. There's areas you just haven't started to spiritually adult in yet. And this is your time. This is it. This is when it's going to happen. And he's going to begin to speak to you. And it's going to be training, which means it's going to hurt. And you're going to stretch some muscles that have not been stretched. And that's why we do fasting and prayer in January, because fasting is a natural way to bring forth grace and strength in a spiritual, because the most basic of human need to eat, we say no to a meal, no to a day of eating, or whatever, however you might enter into it. And while your flesh is screaming out, you can go, hey, wait a minute, I'm actually in charge here. And spiritually, something begins to be worked out. You begin to hear. And the grace with the hearing you can do. The last of the heart condition this morning is the prepared heart. Every head still bowed and eyes closed. Some of you seeing what God wants to do in your life. Don't let the enemy snatch what you see right now. It's a promise of God of where he wants to take you in triumph and overcoming and growth. The seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart. They hear the word, they keep it, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. God's voice is clearest in the prepared environment. Here's the challenge today Paul gave the Corinthian church, a church that was growing up in some things. They were a powerful supernatural church, but they were learning to adult in some things. He said, let's make a clean break with everything that defiles or distracts us, both within and without. Let's make our entire lives fit and holy temples for the worship of God. This morning, as every head is bowed and eyes closed, and the Holy Spirit might be speaking to you about a contaminated heart, some things you've just been ignoring, but right now, by the grace of God, don't say no to God again. By his grace, as you're listening, some things that you've allowed, a lifestyle you're continuing, something you've excused, but the Holy Spirit isn't. And he's not divorcing you. It's not like you're going to lose your salvation, but you will lose relationship. And then that, I don't know where that goes. That's not what you want this morning. You want relationship with him. Deal with the contaminated heart. Some of you, God will be speaking to you in these weeks about distractions and just really getting singularly focused on the things of God. The immature heart. We know who we are. God's just saying it's time to adult in this area. It's time to grow up in this area and be all that God has paid for. Just before we dismiss this service, in every service, I ask the question, is there someone here today who doesn't know Jesus? The Bible tells us that our heart, this instrument of hearing, this kind of who we are deep inside, is a spiritual part of us. But it's actually dead. It's dead in that it has no receptivity to heaven because of our sin. And yet the Bible says that Jesus stands at the door of our heart and he knocks and is asking if could he come into your life. When he died on the cross, that was the loudest, most declarative act of his love, that while we were still sinning, he died for us. And today he's knocking on somebody's heart's door, maybe on the online audience today, an online church. And I just want to ask you, if he's knocking on your heart today, you've never even opened your heart. You go, man, talk about my heart. I've never had Jesus in my heart. I want to have a relationship today with Jesus. It would be my greatest privilege and pleasure to lead you in a prayer, to open that door of your life and allow Jesus to come in. Literally hundreds have done it here at Harvest. We're going to pray a prayer together. And today this is going to be your prayer if this is your choice. And here's what I want you to do with every head bowed and eye closed in this moment. If that's you today and you say, Pastor, I want to be included in this prayer. I want to invite Jesus into my life. I'm going to count down from three, two, and one at one. Simply raise your hand. I'll acknowledge it. And then we're going to pray together. In three, he loves you so much. And two, you're here today hearing. You're hearing him knock today. And one, raise your hand and say, I want to invite him in. Is there anyone in the room? Thank you, sir. Anyone else today? Just a moment. Say, yes, I'm inviting him in today. Forever changed, eternally changed. Harvest, we know what to do. Let's pray. And sir, you raised your hand today. Make this your prayer today. Let's all pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you that you love me. Today, I hear you knocking on my heart. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come into my life. Forgive my sin. I receive forgiveness. I receive that only you can clean up my life. Clean up my life today. I am born again. I receive newness of life, new destiny, a new life in Jesus today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hey, come on, put your hands together as you're standing today, congratulating those who raised their hand. We'll be dismissed in just a moment.
We just thank you this morning, God, for this morning to worship you, Father. I pray for each and every body here this morning, God, that you will go with them. Keep them safe, God. Protect them. Bring us all back safe next week. We just thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. Be blessed, Harvest. We love you. We'll see you back here next week.